Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter to you and your family. Thank you for joining us in worship at St. Olaf Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge, Iowa. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you today. My name is Pastor Emily Sauer, and today I will be leading worship with Laura, Jason, Scott, Bob, and Linda. We thank you for their gifts that are shared with this body of Christ. You are invited to light a candle and fill a bowl with water to remember your baptism. Let us turn our hearts to the risen Lord.
Hymn number 389, Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
Almighty and ever ever-living God, who hold together all things in heaven and on earth, in your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children, and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from Acts chapter 17, beginning at the 22nd verse. In Athens, Paul faces the challenge of proclaiming the gospel to Greeks who know nothing of either Jewish or Christian tradition. He proclaims that the unknown God whom they worship is the true Lord of heaven and earth, who will judge the world with justice through Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead. We begin at verse 22. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of you, your own poets, have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows, those I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen, goats. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord my tongue. If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me and has attended the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. Our second reading is from the first book of Peter. The author of 1 Peter encourages Christians to remain faithful even in the face of defamation and persecution. In baptism, we are made clean to act in accordance with what is right. We read from chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Our Holy Gospel comes from John chapter 14. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, friends. It's time for us to spend a few minutes together during our children's sermon and maybe hopefully learn a little something that'll help us grow closer to God today. I'm wondering how many of you like to watch Wheel of Fortune. It's a game that's been on TV for a very long time. And for those of you who are still trying to work on your spelling words and maybe even learning some definitions, I think it's a good TV show to watch to help you with your schoolwork. We'll see what your parents say about that idea. Anyway, as you know, there's a phrase or possibly a title or a person, place, or thing that's a mystery, and you have to guess the right letters and hope that you get the word correctly. Well, I'm going to make it pretty easy for you today. So I'm going to tell you that we're going to talk about a verb or a noun. It's just four letters long. And a couple other clues is this word is at least 800 times mentioned in the Bible. And it's the greatest quality that we learn about and understand who God is. Now, if you just heard Pastor Emily read the gospel lesson, I'm guessing you might be able to figure out what this four-letter word is. All right, so take a second, tell your family, guess what the word is. Any of the big kids here want to guess what the word is? Oh, they know already. They're smiling at me. I'm going to tell you the first letter is L, okay, just in case you didn't know. And the second letter would be O, so we could buy a vowel, couldn't we? And we can buy another vowel for an E, and then we can put a V in the middle. There we go. The word is love. Love is a powerful word, isn't it? And we use it all the time. Sometimes we don't use it exactly how God meant us to, but we know that word. And we've talked about this word for the last several weeks during our children's time. So how do you love Jesus? If you heard what Pastor Emily said, she gave us a couple ideas from God's Word.
So how does Jesus know that we love him? What can we do or show Jesus that we really love him? So I'm going to give you some ideas. And I'm going to start with the letters that are in the word love. So for the letter L, let's think for a second. What could be a way we could show Jesus that we love him? I think the answer is in the Bible. I think that we need to learn as much as we can about God and Jesus. And we need to do that by reading the Bible. So if you haven't done this yet for a while, find your Bible again, open it up to any story in the Bible, and read along and see how long it takes you to find the word love. And then see what the story is all about. I bet it's about love. All right, now let's try the second letter of love, which you know is O. So how can we show Jesus that we love him using the word O? Now this might not be a word you want to hear, but I think it was definitely said in the gospel story that we need to obey God's commandments. We know there's 10 very important ones in the Old Testament, and some of you in confirmation have been learning those. And we know there's 2 very important ones in the New Testament that talk about how we need to always love the Lord our God with all that we are, and then that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. So that seems like a pretty good way for us to practice how we can love others through obeying. Now we're ready for the letter V. Now this is a little trickier. There's not as many great words that we can use with the letter V. But I think value might be a really good way to describe God's love for us with V. That God values each one of us so much that he's given us this gift of love. And so therefore he wants us to show that to others. That we will readily forgive them, that we won't hold grudges, that we'll find ways to support them and show God's love to others. So there's the letter V. And finally, our last letter is E. And I think the best word we can use to describe how we can show Jesus that we really love him is to encourage others. Every single one of us has a story to tell about a way God might have touched our life, and we can share that with other people. As our friends are maybe hurt or scared or upset about something, we can walk alongside them, encourage them, and a really great way to do that is by praying for them. Every day, finding someone that we can pray for that will encourage them. This is a huge job we've been asked to do. It would be great if it was easy to do, but we know that things that really matter in life take a lot of time and effort, and they are worth it. So God calls us to love each other in all those different ways. And you can have fun with your family right now thinking of some other ways you might show that you love Jesus. Then let me know later what you came up with. Let's thank God for that great gift of love. 1, 2, 3. God, your name is love. You're all about love. And there's no way we can ever thank you enough for that gift of love. Help us to live into the word every single day. Help us to learn and obey, value, and encourage all those who you put in our path. And we know it's possible because of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's kids and people said, Amen.
Isaiah 1 says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows. It's a hard knocks life for us. It's a hard knocks life for us. Poor little orphan Annie. It was a hard knocks life for her and her friends. All the hard chores, the abuse, the neglect, And add insult to injury, these poor little girls were already carrying the weight of abandonment. But if you've ever seen the musical Annie, you know there is a happy ending for this cute little red-headed orphan girl, Annie. After being invited to spend the Christmas holiday with billionaire Oliver Warbucks, and after a few shenanigans from her caregiver at the orphanage, Annie learns her parents have passed away. Mr. Warbucks would like to adopt her. The brightness in Annie's eyes and the bounce in her step change dramatically when she learns she will be adopted. Why? Because she not only will leave behind the hard knocks life of the orphanage, but she will also live with an incredible wealth and, more importantly, live with someone who has chosen her to be his. She celebrates the promise of Mr. Warbucks, saying, "I don't need anything but you." Annie says, "Yesterday was plain awful." Warbucks says, "You can say that again." And Annie says, "Yesterday was just plain awful." And both sing it together, "But that's not now, that's then." Annie realizes that she has given a new life, a better life, because someone has claimed her as his own. She has a dad to love and care for her. Orphan. It's a word filled with many emotions. By definition, an orphan is a child without parents. In our system, orphans can be fostered by families or friends or complete strangers. Anyone can choose to adopt by entering the process, and those adoptions can be open or closed. An orphan's need is the same as ours. They want to be loved, respected, treated with kindness. They want a family and a place to call home. And you see, the disciples, they were no different. At this point in the gospel, the disciples knew Jesus was already on his way to the cross. Jesus was going to prepare the way. We hear the promise, but the disciples don't get it. They're afraid, rejected, and lost. The Lord is going to lead them physically as orphans. Have we ever felt the same from the Lord? Have you ever heard of the artist named Seal? He is a gifted musician and sang familiar tunes such as "Kiss a Rose" and "Fly Like an Eagle." He was actually an orphan from Africa. One time, Seal went to an orphanage for children living with HIV and AIDS in South Africa, and during his visit, he was surrounded by hundreds of orphans eager to touch him and talk with him. He stood among the orphans, and it was hard for him to leave them. He said, "How do you ever leave children who are yearning and lonely?" One young man was the loudest and called out to Seal that day in South Africa, "Please tell them about me. Tell them my name and who I am, and tell them not to forget me." It was this story about desperation. The young man wanted people to remember his name, to remember his life, to remember he mattered. He didn't want to be forgotten. He wanted to be loved, and we all want that. The disciples cry out to Jesus, "Remember me when you go to your kingdom." That separation from God, we're not called to live there. Jesus gives a promise. When the Lord makes a promise, it's not like us floundering down here trying our hardest to keep it. When the Lord makes a promise, he keeps it. Do you remember the rainbow? Or how about the promised gift of eternal life? How about God's forgiveness and mercy 77 times or more? God's promises are good. Today's promise, "I will not leave you orphaned." Jesus will not forget you or leave you behind. Jesus won't drop you off like a stray dog or cat. He remembers your name. He knows you matter, that you are loved, and that he will live in you through the gift of the Spirit always. This promise is such a gift of grace at this time in history. We are not alone. I received a call one time from a man who said, "I need to talk to you about adoption." He was an older man from a former parish who with his wife had recently received custody of their grandson. He said, "I am too old to be a dad yet." There was no happy reunion on the horizon with the biological parents anytime soon. Dad was in prison and the mother had severe addiction issues. He asked, "Do you know anyone at the church who might like to adopt the baby?" I have to say that this wasn't the first time that I've received this request, and I doubt that it would be the last. He suggested I ask around, see if anyone wants a baby. The prospect seemed a little weird, but I prayed on it. I was struggling to come up with a family or a person. I did ask two families, both who did not feel called, and I told God I was not equipped to do it either. But thanks for asking, Lord. The good Lord did work on these grandparents' hearts, and their fostering turned into adopting their grandson. This type of story has become much more commonplace. How many other pastors out there have received this type of request? And how does the church be there in the middle of that? And how many babies and children are longing for someone to love and care and raise them? There is a world full of children, and we pray for those families to open their hearts and their homes. So if you feel that calling, do not delay. Listen for that Spirit's nudging. Maybe God is speaking to you. God does not abandon us or forget our names. The Lord doesn't forget the orphan ever. A man named Gerald Penix wrote in Guidepost, "My wife and I waited 15 years for a child that never came the natural way. However, we were approached one day with the lead of a newborn not yet born. We chose to adopt. I remember standing in front of the judge on our day of adoption. The judge pointed his finger and asked of me, 'Is anyone coercing you to adopt this little boy?' After we had assured him that we were doing it out of love, the judge made this statement, 'From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you, even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name.' Then he looked to the clerk and gave this command, 'So order a change to this child's birth certificate, and may it reflect that these are the parents of this child.'" Our Lord does the very thing for each of us. He loves each of us so much without coercion, and he has given all to his children in Jesus' name. And we gladly bear that spiritual adoption, that I am God's image, that we are God's adopted children. The Lord's promise, "I will not leave you an orphan. You are adopted by God's Spirit. You are now sons and daughters. You are family." How will we write our story? Or better yet, how will God write our story together? Amen.
Hymn number 595, "Jesus Loves Me."
Oh,
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Almighty God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly, show mercy to the oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way, especially Gary Wiedenfeld, Doris Williams' sister Kate, Tim Brainerd, Steve Springer, Steve Hall, Steve Kwan, Kelly Hendricks, Rosemary Stickrock, Donna Smith, Willie Williams, Reverend Steve McKinney, Mike and Chantel Early, Norma Birnbaum, and Nancy and Craig Hamilton, and their family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to take hold of our baptismal promises to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned in body, mind, or spirit. We remember those who are affected with the coronavirus. We pray for their healing and wholeness. We ask for your special blessing on those who are working on the front line to provide care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us, who we name in our hearts before you now. Unite us forever in your final victory over death, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. At this time, we will receive our offerings from the mission and ministry at St. Olaf, our community, our synod, and in the world. We are dependent on offerings in order to continue the work of the church, to operate our building, to pay our staff, and to offer our benevolence to places like Beacon of Hope and the Lord's Cupboard. The needs are great at this time. If you feel so inclined to support our mission and work, please do so by mailing a check to St. Olaf in Fort Dodge, Iowa, or you can do so electronically at paypal.me/St. Olaf FD. The link will be provided for you in the comments section. We will listen to music and ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the work of our church. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make of them in abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name, in the strength of the risen Christ who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 623, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.